It's in the New Testament at the back of your Bible. Get to the book of Revelation, you've turned all the way back. You need to back up a little bit, and you'll be at the book of Jude. Jude just has one chapter, and I want us to deal with the first four verses of the book of Jude. I was listening to Chuck Swindoll preach a while back, and he told a story of a movie, Black Hawk Down. And I remember either seeing some of that or maybe all of that movie, but I remember the scene as he described it. And this unit had gone in to try to get the men that were in the Black Hawk. And they had to leave. They didn't make it. They came back to their home base. Their vehicle was all shot up. They were all shot up. And the commander of the group said, "Regroup, we're going back." The driver said, "Sir, I can't go back. I'm wounded." The commander said, "We're all wounded. Get ready to go back." So he did. We're all wounded. Different things have happened in our lives that would cause us to want to throw in the towel. But there is too much at stake. There's too many lives at stake for us to throw in the towel, for us to back off from our belief, for us to back off what the Bible has taught us. So Jude starts out his letter to the churches, and he says, "I was going to write to you about common salvation, how people get saved." And you know, it is common, right? I mean, everyone gets saved the same way. There is not one way for the rich to be saved and one way for the poor to be saved, another way for different individuals. It's all the same way. The ground at the foot of the cross is level, and every person gets saved the very same way. He said, "I was going to write to you about this common salvation, but something has come up that is more important." I don't have to tell you how long I've been in the business. It's been a while. I met a person from Kingston yesterday and asked about their pastor. He and I went to college together about 50 years ago, and I said, "How's he doing?" And she said, "He's still pastoring the church." I said, "How long's he been there?" And she said, "38 years." I thought, I wouldn't think Nick would have. Anyway, we had a really good, fun time talking about that. Something is more important. There is this common salvation, and there's not anything any more important than a man or a woman's life than that they come to a place that they've accepted Christ as their personal Savior and made things right to go to heaven. But here he says there's something that has come up that I want to tell you about. It's false teaching. It's a fear of the wrong doctrine being brought into the church and therefore destroying the church. Not just the church, but individuals' lives, families, individuals that have changed their mind, that maybe there's things that are not as important as the major doctrine. So take your Bible and turn to Jude and look with me at the very first verse. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Do you know who this guy is? Half-brother of Jesus. To them that are sanctified, you know what that word means? Set aside. Used for God's use. Set aside, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and look at, and called. You're a Christian, you got all that. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Just a common greeting. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should, now here's, this is going to be the kicker right here, earnestly. Is there a word that could take the place of earnesty? I don't know of one. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now he's talking about this does not change. God does not change. And in verse 4 he says, for there are certain men crept in unawares. They did not announce it. They were not wearing a false teacher button. They got in the crack. Some way they were able to wiggle themselves into a position to change people's minds about what the Word of God actually taught. For there are certain men crept in unawares. You didn't know about it. I mean, they didn't announce it. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Our enemy was behind it. And you know who he is? Yeah. It's the devil. And he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. Men, are you listening to me today? He's out to destroy your family. He's out to get your kids. He's your enemy. Here the Bible says he was ordained for this purpose, and he's got these men working for him. For the certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, although they do not present themselves as that, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. I went through this at the breakfast table this morning, which is my common practice before I preach. And it took me a while, so I've got to really get after it here. Earnestly contend for the faith. The Amplified Bible puts it this way. Beloved, my whole concern was to write to you in regard to our common salvation. But I found it necessary and was impelled to write to you, urgently appeal to and exhort you to contend for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. The faith which is that sum of Christian belief which was delivered verbally to the holy people of God. I want to give you six foundational areas of truth that you and I must hold to. Now, I'm not saying this is the only thing, but these six must be that we hold sacred in our own lives and in our church. The virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 7, verse 14, said a virgin would conceive, bear a son, and his name would be called, you know it? Emmanuel, which means God with us. He's not a secondary plan. He was always in the plan. God did not say, the law's not going to work. I gave them the law, but the law's not going to work. I gave them these things to do, the sacrifice of animals, the blood sacrifices, but it's turned out they didn't work out. God did not say that. From the beginning of creation, it was God's plan that His Son would come and give His life so that you and I could be changed. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. God did not say, well, that plan didn't work, we're going to move over to this plan. But Isaiah said there was a virgin that was going to have a son. That means that she had never known a man. You understand how important it is that we believe in the virgin birth? When I pastored at Tuckerman, Arkansas, there was a church within sight of my church that the pastor said that it's not really necessary that you believe in the virgin birth in order to be saved. Well, beg your pardon, it is. It's absolute. Because you understand, if Jesus was not born of a virgin, He was as sinful as you and I. If He was sinful as you and I, there could be no blood atonement because a holy God would not accept an unholy sacrifice. No blood atonement, no salvation. No salvation, no regeneration. No regeneration, no heaven for you and me. And my dear friend, without virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I are lost and without hope in this world. The second foundational area that I want to discuss with you today is the full deity of Christ. And if there's anything under attack in the society in which you and I live in, it is the deity of Jesus Christ. Because we've got all these folks standing up and saying that Jesus is not the only way to heaven. All you have to do is just be sincere in whatever it is that you believe, and that's going to do it for you. You don't have to believe the Bible. You don't have to believe that Jesus is the only way. Jesus was not just a great leader. He was not just a religious figure, a prophet. He was God. In Jesus Christ, God was manifested in the flesh, the Bible says. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us in John the first chapter. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Either Jesus is the only way to heaven, or He's not one of the ways. He's a liar and a fraud. He's not the only way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. That's what he said, and I believed it. Then I want us to look at the blood atonement of Jesus. Jesus died for our sins according to Scripture. I want you to turn with me over to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and look down at verse 3. For I delivered unto you, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. And we're talking about things that we're supposed to hang on to here. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin, 1 John 1, verse 7 says. This doctrine of substitutionary death, the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins, it's especially abhorred, spoke against by the liberal press. A few years ago, I heard talk about, let's take all the blood out of the songs that we sang. It's not a bloody religion. Let's take the blood out of those songs that we sing. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stain. Lose all their guilty stain. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It took the blood of Jesus Christ. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. In a dry, thirsty land. That song goes on to talk about blood was a double cure. Now listen to me. A double cure from wrath and make me pure. Is that right, Matt? A double cure. The blood is a double cure away from wrath. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the wrath of God. You and I have been studying the book of Revelation, and we know that the wrath of God is getting ready to come. That the wrath of God is soon to be poured out upon an ungodly world. Well, the songwriter knew, safe from wrath, the wrath of God, and also to make me pure. So the blood of Jesus Christ did two things. It secured my future in heaven. When Gabriel blows the trumpet, I'm going to be raptured. The church is going to be taken up. That's the next great event that is going to take place. And only those that are born again, only those that are saved, are going to be raptured up. Safe from wrath and make me pure. Not by my own righteousness, but by His. The bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He literally came out of that grave. The apostate theologians talk about the deathless Spirit of Christ goes marching on. Fuzzy concepts like that. I want to tell you, friends, that the faith that we preach and believe is the faith of an empty tomb. Never, ever, ever minimize the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's the first fruits. He rose from the dead. And because He rose from the dead, one of these days I'm going to rise from the dead. He rose bodily. He was dead. He died for my sin. He was buried. He was put into a barred tomb. And then the angels came and rolled the stone away so we could see inside the tomb that it was empty. He rose again. He walked on this earth for 40 days. And He was seen of over 500 people. And yet, we've got folks that say it's not. You don't have to believe in the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ in order to be a Christian. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And you may not understand all of it, and I don't understand half of it. But there's these foundational truths that you and I must stand on as a church, as individuals. And you knew I was going here, the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's literal, visible return. Coming back to earth, actually, bodily, physically. Coming again. In the 14th chapter, John, he told the disciples, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll return again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And one of the disciples said, we don't know where you're going. How in the world can we know the way? That's when he said those famous words, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. He's coming again. You and I are to occupy until He comes. We're to be about this business of taking as many with us as we possibly can. Until He comes. We're to be about the business of telling folks about Jesus. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is risen, whatever men may say. So, hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. Just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me on life's way. Another word goes in there. I can't remember what it is. Five. And finally, and I'm going to close with this. I got a bunch more. I could preach half the evening. You don't know. I haven't preached very many times since July. I've got a lot stored up here. I didn't hear anybody say amen. Just keep going. Finally, the authority of the Word of God. The authority of the Word of God. There's no substitute. I was getting fuel. There was a lady getting fuel at the same time I was, and I remembered her being here back when we had the singings on Saturday night, and she was a piano player. And so we talked a little bit. I spent my whole time trying to think of her name and couldn't think of it. She knew mine, of course. And, anyway, she knew that I had retired, and she said, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I'm going to preach, I hope I can fill in for folks and stuff like that, help some other pastors along. She said, well, maybe you can come and preach at our church when our pastor needs a break. I said, what is your church? She said, Bible Baptist Church. But anyway, not too far out of Harrison. And I said, well, I don't know. I said, I never preached at a Bible Baptist church before. You think we believe close enough together that I wouldn't get myself in any trouble there? And she just looked me right square in the eye and she said, you preach the Bible, don't you? I said, yes, ma'am, there's not anything else to preach. If I brought a Reader's Digest, you'd be disappointed. There's not anything else to preach but the Word of God. It is. Folks, listen to me today. There is no error in it. When we say it's inerrant, that means that it doesn't have any mistakes in it. There's no mistakes. And God never changed His mind about anything in it. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed His mind about what society accepts. What He has rejected, He still rejects. Sin is sin no matter how you label it. If it quacks like a duck and walks like a duck and hits the water and swims like a duck, I'm going to assume it's a duck. And friends, sin is sin is sin. And God has not changed His mind about that. And this Word is without any error. It's not mixed with falsehood. It's not got some lies in it and some truth in it. It is all the truth. From cover to cover, from the Genesis account of creation to the Revelation account of the end of the world, it is all the truth of God. It has not changed, and you better not change. And I better not change. It is the truth of God. We stand on it. We believe it. We should die for it. There never should be a time that we throw in the towel and say, well, it's just too much to fight against. Let's slack up on that. Everybody's doing it. Let's just slack up. You know, if you didn't preach hard against sin, there might be more folks coming to church. Several years ago, I remember picked up a little girl, never had been to church before. Called her on the van. And I drove it one Wednesday night and went to their house to pick up. There's three or four kids got on the van there. This kid got on and said, so-and-so's not coming tonight, he's in trouble. I said, what's he in trouble about? said he bit the cat's eye out.
But he bit the cat's eye out. Said, yeah, we had some little kittens and bit one of them's eye out.
So Grandma won't let him come.
I thought about that for a little while. I thought, well, how on earth did he bite the cat's eye out? And she said, well, he just took it up and bit it right out.
But I remember something that child said to me. That child liked to go to children's church for the refreshments and had fun in there. Got to the age she needed to stay in big church and made her stay in here. This is what she said. I don't want to stay in here. And I knew people was loving on her, and she said, I don't like what you do. I said, what is it I do that you don't like? She said, all that screaming and hollering and carrying on. She said, I don't like that. She said, why do you do that anyway? I said, well, I don't guess I know why I do it. I was trying to get my point across. Saw her last night. Gone. Or she could go. Word of God has not changed. Truth, whether you like it or not, or whether I like it or not. And you and I are to proclaim it from the housetop. It comes together. Let's stand together. So, Kent probably picked out some folks to come and help me this morning. Told them to come and do that. Most important decision that you'll ever make in all of your life. I hope it's not true. May be here today, and Brother Lanny, there's some areas in my life that I've thrown back. May be here today, and you've not made that all important decision of accepting Jesus' heart. Come today and decide, I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. I'm going to be saved today. Jesus were to come, I'm not sure I'd be in the rapture. If I were to die today, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. But I want to know, I'm going to make it sure today, I'm going to confess Him as my Savior. You can do that anywhere. But come forward, talk about it, and somebody will pray with you. Prayer to accept Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're here today and you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Been saved, but you haven't taken that next step. You haven't joined the church or become part of the fellowship through baptism. Baptized into the body of Christ. We believe in believer's baptism. Can't be baptized any other way other than being a believer. You're sprinkled as a child that did no good whatsoever. It is false doctrine. I didn't stutter, did I? False doctrine. You can only be scripturally baptized Christian. Accept Christ as your Savior, follow the Lord in believers' immersion baptism. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're here today and want to become a member of this church, either by transferring a letter here from another church that's believes the way we do, or by statement that you've been saved and scripturally baptized, the church would receive you. So we're going to give you this invitation. This altar is open. These folks are here to help you and to pray with you. You would come today and make that decision for Christ. Maybe God's dealt with your heart and you just need to unload some stuff today here at this altar and at these pews. Before I forget it, I want to meet with the pastor's office after this. As we sing, I invite you to come. If I can help you, come to me.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being with us this morning. And dear God, we just pray that we could be bent to your will. Help us to not throw in the towel, to be faithful to your work and your mission for us here in our lives, in our homes, in our church. Lord, I pray that we could do our very best to carry that out through this week. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.